Today's episode of the podcast is sponsored by Sounder. And Sounder is the podcast host that I wish I had when I started my show. Because when you sign up for Sounder Plus, their premium offering, which is only $12.99 a month, you unlock so many incredible features. Let's just go through their website and see what's included with Sounder Plus. So you get unlimited podcasts, Analytics Plus, automatic distribution to YouTube, up to 50,000 streams a month, customizable Sounder player, support within 24 hours, 4 collaborators, custom domains, programmatic advertising, so you can start making money from your podcast. You can also leverage the power of AI and machine learning with their tools that auto transcribe your full podcast and then help you generate keywords, which you can use for the title, for SEO in your description, can help you generate subtitles. It's so powerful what you can do with just one subscription of Sounder, which again is only $12.99 a month, which is a steal, but we're going to give you an even better deal because you're a listener of My Social Life. If you go to sounder.fm/plus and use the promo code Jacob at checkout, you can try Sounder Plus for 3 months free. You get a 3 month free trial if you go to sounder.fm/plus and use the promo code Jacob at checkout. Thank you so much to Sounder for sponsoring today's episode. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to My Social Life. This is the podcast where we teach you how to grow on social media by talking to people who have actually done it. I'm your host, Jacob Kelly. As always, today's podcast is powered by Surf. And today is a takeaways episode. And if you're new here, what a takeaways episode is where I sit down and break down the most recent podcast episode of the week. And today, we're discussing my conversation with Zach Ramlin. Now, if you haven't had a chance to listen to the full podcast with Zach yet, I highly recommend you go back and do that. But for those of you that don't have time to do that, quick little rundown on who Zach is. Zach is a filmmaker. He has directed feature films, a lot of short films. He directs commercials. He's also a YouTuber and content creator. He has over 96,000 subscribers on YouTube. So he's closing in on that plaque, that silver play button. But that's Zach. You know, in this podcast, you know, we didn't get necessarily overly tactical, I would say, in my conversation with Zach. It was more so kind of about the creative process to an extent and kind of how he handles feedback and how he comes up with ideas. You know, it's a little bit more abstract. There's not necessarily like do this to achieve this. So we might not necessarily have a solid like takeaway or a tactic that we normally like to have in the episode, but we'll see. We'll run through these takeaways here. I got about 5 of them here. I'll run through them bullet points. I'll try to get you out of here in 10, 15 minutes and we'll go from there. All right, but the first takeaway that I have here is that learning how to take feedback from your audience is a skill. You know, it's something you'll develop over time. A lot of people just equate it to, you know, I got thicker skin, which is true. That is part of it. You get used to the rude comments, the hateful comments, the disrespectful, the negative comments, but there's also going to be some constructive comments in there. And so part of this skill, and what I talk about with Zach, is how you need to learn how to filter through the comments that you're getting. To understand what can you just straight up ignore? What is hurtful and not helpful in any way? And what is constructive? What can you listen to? And then what that stuff that is constructive, what should you listen to? And what Zach kind of says is his barometer for what is true, or what he kind of looks to see what he needs to change. You know, when there is constructive feedback that's not coming from a bad place, if it still hurts, if it hits a spot that you're not, if it hits a spot that you, that I'm trying to think of the right word to explain this. If it hits a spot that kind of stings a little bit, there's probably something there that you know to be true that you're not admitting to yourself. And the reason why you don't like that comment isn't because it's rude, but because it's actually hitting a thing that you know you need to fix. And I do agree with that. Like I said on the podcast, to an extent, I agree with that. I also think as creatives, we are our own harshest critics. And so it's a fine line you'll need to walk here between thinking everything you create is garbage. Because a lot of creators I talk to, you know, they think that what they've made isn't good. Because I can fix this, and this. But they don't think of all the things that they did well. They always focus on things they did negatively. So there's a fine line to walk as a creator, you listening to this, of yes, there is some truth in that statement that if it hurts and it's a genuine comment, it's probably something you should address. But it's also like, you don't want to let that run too far. But I think that, again, bringing back to the beginning of this takeaway, learning how to take feedback from your audience is a skill. Another thing too that was interesting that came up a couple times in this conversation was, you know, we are constantly influenced. Is what we talked about. You know, there's just TikTok is insane how much you're consuming as fast as you are. YouTube, you're always new recommendations. Twitter, a new tweet every few seconds. You know, there's so many influences coming at you. And I kind of had two takeaways from this. Two, like one main one and one kind of like an offshoot one. And these are things, this isn't just spurred on from this conversation, something I've thought about over the last little while here. And the first off is make sure you're intentional with what your influences are. You know, figure what's important to you and try to make the algorithm work in your favor. If, you know, like start watching YouTube videos based on what your actual interests are. Stop going through the recommended right now. Make your algorithm work for you and create content that's actually going to be beneficial and help you achieve your goals. There's going to be lots of great content that the algorithm is going to feed you that's not going to benefit you and it's not going to spur you forward. And so make sure you're watching content. Use the search function on YouTube. And sometimes it's tough, you know, you don't know what should I search up, what should I watch, but it's important to make sure you're intentional with your influences. And on that note, I think an interesting, when we're being intentional with what our influences are, I also think there's something to be said for pieces of content that stand the test of time. And that's a little bit harder with YouTube and social media to figure out what are those pieces of content that are important that you should be consuming. Like, this is really applicable to like movies and books and things like that. Like, what are we still talking? And music, what are we still talking about 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years later, 20 years later, 30 years later? What music is still not relevant? Because it's not like in the zeitgeist all the time. It's not a current topic of conversation. But what is still a significant piece of art that you can consume that's you're going to let influence you? You know, there's so many movies that come out every year, especially now with streaming and everything. And there's so many albums that get dropped and so many songs. And what should you listen to? And, you know, it's like, I feel like I'm getting old. They got to watch the classics. You got to listen to the classics. But like, there's some truth in that. Not because I necessarily think that it's better, but because I think that it stood the test of time and therefore there's something that should be digested and understood about that work of art. And again, it's tough. I don't know. I don't have an answer for you when it comes to social media and how do we necessarily let that, how do we let that happen? Or how do we figure what social content has stood the test of time? And I think with social media, it's different as well because things are always changing. And anyways, I just think you need to be more intentional about what you are letting influence you. That comes down to who you follow on social media, the YouTube videos you watch, the movies, the songs you listen to. So just be more careful. You know, it's something we don't often think about, but it's, I want you to, even if it's in the back of your mind there, I want you to be something that you think about. And the next one here is constraints breed creativity, you know, which feels counterintuitive for a lot of creators. You know, I want to create, I don't want anyone to tell me what I can and can't do. I don't want any of these rules, but what makes a great creative is having a constraint, figuring I'm being creative with how to handle said constraint. You know, I think the first person that I ever heard kind of explain this was Tyler Babin, who is an alumni of the show. You can go back and listen to that podcast. Shout out to Tyler Babin. I think I've talked about with Javier Mercedes as well on here, also an alumni of the podcast. I think Javier was like episode 91 or 92. I can't remember exactly what number Babin was, but shout out to those two guys. I highly recommend you check out those after listening to this. But constraints breed creativity. And so I think a lot of people, we look at constraints as an obstacle, something to overcome, which it is to an extent, but I don't want it to actually, yes, it is an obstacle, but it is not a barrier. It's something you have to work around. It's not something that's impeding your progress. And I think that as a creator, you should be excited when you have a constraint and figuring out how you can use that to your advantage. How can you use a smaller budget for a film to your advantage? How can you use the fact that you can only shoot during the day because you don't have a good light? You have to shoot in your window. How can that become to your advantage? You just have to use these constraints to your, again, they breed creativity. I think that's something that's important as a creator to acknowledge that constraints are a good thing. They are not a negative thing. Another thing that I thought Zach said was really interesting, I've never really heard anybody say this before in this way, and I really, really liked this point, was he was talking about, you know, don't let great works of art be something to look up to or something to even like almost scare you from creating because, you know, you think you'll never be that good. And instead, let great works of art be a collaborator. You know, like Zach was talking about, let like a great film not necessarily be someone you're looking up to, but someone in the room with you that's giving you ideas. And what can you take from watching this art to inspire your next creation? And I think that's a really profound point, is that we're all creating at the end of the day. Creativity and quality really are subjective too. And obviously like there's arguments for both sides and you can tell when something is quality. I get that. But you know, it's, why don't you let someone else's creativity inspire you? Why can't, like, I think that's such an interesting point, is to just let yourself be inspired by great works of art. Don't let it like, and we also talked about, you know, we had a conversation on the podcast about like great creators or like good creators copy, great creators steal, you know, that whole adage, we talked about that. But I just thought that was a very interesting point, is let great works of art, let film be a collaborator in the room and not someone to look up to. And now we also talked about how Zach picks ideas. And I thought it was interesting, you know, because it's very different from how I pick ideas to execute on, I should say. And specifically when it comes to the scripts that I decide to write. But so with Zach needs to have an idea, and it has to ruminate for a couple of months. His minimum threshold is 3 months, if not twice as long, if not years. He has to have an idea kind of in there. And I thought it was interesting. It was the way he was talking about it. It's like, why does he have this? Like, why does he have to have an idea for this amount of time? It's because he said, like, you're going to be married to that idea for a year or two. So don't get married after two dates. Don't get married after thinking about that idea just once or twice. Really let it sit there. Really let it percolate. Decide if it's something you're willing to commit an extended period of your life to working on. And I get that. And maybe I'm also part of that. It's like, I am not at the point where I'm making films. So not yet. We will get there, people. But I think, again, he's investing a little more time in a creative project than I am. Because like when I write a movie script, if I'm actually focusing on it, and like focusing on it for me is like writing an hour to an hour and a half a day, usually maybe missing a day of the week here or there, but I can usually get a script done in 4 weeks, 4 or 5 weeks. If I'm really cranking out the pages and then it's really flowing, because like realistically, I can do about in an hour to hour and a half. I can usually do 5 to 7 pages. So if I'm writing every day, that's a script in under a month. So anyways, that's important, but that's also for a rough draft. And there's a whole other, that's just to get the rough draft. I should very clarify that that's not doing the second draft and the revisions and all the things. Anyways, but because it only takes me a month, I really let what's exciting to me in that moment dictate what I do. Whereas Zach doesn't let what's exciting, Zach's reverse. He doesn't let what's exciting to him in the moment dictate. It's been what's exciting to him over an extended period of time. And that excitement might not be as much as whatever is exciting him in that current moment, but he understands that that excitement in the current moment might go away. So he lets that be a barometer of how he picks ideas. What has he been thinking about for an extended period of time? And again, with something like a YouTube or especially a TikTok, it doesn't have to be that way, because you're not going to spend a year and a half on a TikTok. I hope you're not. I mean, I would probably be wild if you are spending that much time. I would like to see that video. So you can be a little bit more intentional. So this is just your takeaways to how someone else approaches ideas. This isn't necessarily something you have to do or you should be doing. Again, all of this is subjective and what works best for you. But I just thought this was an interesting way of how somebody else thinks about ideas. And again, this is more so for movies, and he even said for films and or for YouTube, I should say, he's a lot quicker with it. It doesn't have to be something like with YouTube. It could be that idea in the moment because he can go and execute on it and be done with it in like a few days. But I just want to highlight that it was interesting how he approaches deciding what ideas to work on and what ideas not to. My last takeaway here, which is something that I really kind of touched on this at the end of the podcast, I'm going to touch on it at the end here, is to listen to your inner child whenever you can. You know, your inner child is that version of you that is probably has like the least amount of outside influences. No matter where, you're going to be influenced by other people from the moment you're born. But when you're 6 or 7, you're a little bit more pure than you are right now, I would hope. And so what was interesting to that 6 or 7 year old without having a lot of outside influences and things, what were they interested in? What would they do in your situation? And I think that that's important, is to remember, you know, is to listen to your inner child every once in a while. And I don't have a lot because I haven't done a lot of thinking about what my inner child is, but I just thought it was an interesting concept that Zach brought up at the end of the podcast. I wanted to shout it out here, is to listen to your inner child whenever you can. And speaking of listening, thank you for listening to this episode of My Social Life. Whether you're listening the entire way through or you only listen to bits and pieces, I really appreciate you taking time to check this out. Do me a big favor. Go and follow Zach. Go and check out his YouTube. Go and join the wait list or order, depending on the time of this, his new book that is coming out. I'll make sure it's all linked to the show notes down below so you can find it. If you'd like to follow me, you can find me everywhere on social media at the Jacob Kelly. Feel free to come and say hello. My DMs are always open. If you did enjoy today's podcast, be sure to leave us a positive rating and review. Share this episode with a friend and subscribe to the show. I put a brand new interviews every single Tuesday, and a brand new takeaways episode is an audio exclusive where I sit down and break down those recent podcast episodes of the week, just like this, every single Thursday. As always, today's podcast is powered by Surf. Thank you once again for listening, everybody. We'll talk soon.